$24 per family. The event is Wednesday, May 15th. Your tickets can be purchased in the Dunglinson Robertson Room on Sundays, or you can stop by the church office. The PW birthday luncheon will be tomorrow, Monday, May 6th at 11:30. Make sure that you make plans to attend. All women of the church are invited. And last, everyone is encouraged to meet at 1 o'clock on May 11th in the kitchen to help with our kitchen cleanup. The job was started in March, so the hope is to finish that job on the 11th. The more that participate, the faster that it will get completed.
We had one kind of a last minute announcement. The session met right before worship this morning and approved a special offering that will be taken up on the 21st of May. So we wanted to get out the news that this will take place as soon as possible. We'll also send it out on MailChimp and mail it by good old U.S. Postal Service as well. But that is to go to help defray some of the expenses that Katie Clark, daughter of this church, a wonderful young lady, will incur this summer as she goes to serve on the staff of Sun Servants, a mission organization that we have worked with for many years. She'll be doing some of the mission trips and helping to staff those, and will incur some up to $2,500 in expenses to fly around the world and do things for God. So we wanted to help support her in that effort, and so we will be sending out a regular mail with envelopes. If you'd like to mark a check with a portion of that to go towards Katie's expenses as well, you can just put, I guess, Katie Clark expenses. And you don't have to wait till the 21st, and you don't, if you... 19th, whatever the Sunday is, that is right there. So 5th, 12th, 19th is the Sunday. And for some reason, I've gotten in my mind that it's the 21st, but it's the 19th. If you want to make your contributions on Tuesday, the 21st, you're welcome to do so. But it is Sunday the 19th, and like I said, you can make it before or after that, but you need, if it's a check, you need to let us know how much you're contributing for Katie and how much you're making for your regular offering. If you're doing cash, like I said, we're going to try to get envelopes out that you can bring those on the 21st or just send them into the office when you have a chance. But she does leave on June the 1st, and so we'd like those contributions before June the 1st, before then, so we can get the money to Katie before she leaves. So that rather confusing explanation, we are going to have a special offering, and we hope that you will consider contributing to those. So, and then we have a minute for mission.
As a young child, I remember standing on the kitchen counter and very gently handing down the good china cups and saucers, because the women of the church circle was meeting at our house that night, and that's what you did. You got out the best china, and you had your best friends and your church family over for prayer and Bible study and fellowship and mission. Well, fast forward quite a few years, and here we are today with one little name change. We're now called the Presbyterian Women. And those Presbyterian Women still meet the first Monday of every month. We meet, we have a day circle that meets at 12:30. We have an evening circle that meets at 7 o'clock in homes, just as my mom had us in her home. Those women still meet for prayer, for Bible study, for fellowship, and for mission. I encourage you all to join one of our groups. We are sort of winding down for the summer, but before too long, you'll be seeing this. It's a booklet. It has all the women's names in here, so you're already considered a Presbyterian woman, if you are a woman. And we have a purpose, and I'm going to read you quickly that purpose. Forgiven, if I can see it. Forgiven and freed by God in Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to nurture our faith through prayer and Bible study, to support the mission of the church worldwide, and to work for justice and peace, and to build an inclusive, caring community of women that strengthens the Presbyterian Church USA and witnesses to the promise of God's kingdom. This year, we have had some issues with deadlines with our health kits and our school kits. So we have decided instead to go with God's pit crew, not God's storehouse. We already do God's storehouse. But we're going with God's pit crew. And if you would like to purchase a blessing bucket, you can do that for the cost of $35. Our missions go on in the summer, even though our circle meetings do not. If you would just like to get a list of things that you can purchase to go in those blessing buckets, those are around in different parts of the church. So there are many ways you can serve as Presbyterian women. Tomorrow, we celebrate our birthday luncheon at 11:30 up in Overby Hall, and we will have a life member who is one of our women who has remained a secret. She will become a life member of the Presbyterian women. Please look for the booklet as the fall comes. We'll be making the changes this summer. We would love to have you join us either for day circle or night circle, or if there are a lot of you that would like to meet at another time, that can be arranged too. Thank you so much for Minute for Presbyterian Women.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Sing praise to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name. Let us worship God. Please join by singing hymn 302, I Danced in the Morning. Please join me in the Litany of Assurance. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom.
To the Lamb be blessed and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Christ will send you into the city and tell you what you are to do. You are Christ's chosen instrument, called to suffer for the sake of Christ's name. Christ will restore your sight and fill you with the Holy Spirit. If the children will please come forward.
Hey there. Good morning. Well, guess what next Sunday is? It's not today, but it's next Sunday. We're going to celebrate something. Do you remember what that is? Come on, y'all better get on the ball now. It's Mother's Day, remember? Yeah, that's a specialty.
I seen the things in Walmart for Mother's
Day. I bet you have seen the things in Walmart. Yeah, that's this next Sunday is a special day. We honor our mother, and we thank her for all that she does for us, because nobody loves us as much as our mother or our grandmother or whoever it is that takes care of us. So I thought we'd go ahead and kind of get a jump on things and start fixing some cards for our mothers. So just go ahead and pick one card. All right, shall I pick one? Can you pick one? Okay. Now each one of these cards have a word written on them that might describe your mother. So let's start with you, Lila.
Love.
Love. That's right. Does your mother show a lot of love?
Yeah.
How is a way that she might show love?
She's nice.
That's a good way. Nice to just you or everybody? Okay, Madeline, what's your word?
Hug. Hug.
A hug. Is your mom a hugger?
Yeah.
Yeah, she hug you a lot. Hug everybody. All right, but where'd you got?
Nurse.
A nurse. When you fall down and scrape your knee, what does she do?
Put a Band-Aid on it, yeah. Or like alcohol.
Some disinfectant. Does she kiss it too to make it well?
Yes.
What's your word?
A driver.
That's what a job that most every mother has. Does your mother drive you around to different things?
Yes.
To dance? I bet she has a lot of things that you do. So these words all describe what a mother is. I've got a few more cards here. We'll just run through them real quick. Madeline, why don't you read each one? Just some thoughts. Yeah, most mothers, they read Bible studies to you at night and teach you a lot of things.
Kiss.
Oh, yeah, just like a hugger, I bet your mother is a kisser, too. Kiss you all the time.
Fun.
Yeah, moms are fun, aren't they? They laugh, make you laugh.
Yep.
All right, one more.
cook.
Right. Mom's usually the main cook. What does she cook that you like?
Baked spaghetti.
All right. That sounds like delicious. Okay. Well, what I've got here is some stickers. And you can take this back, these back with you. Each one gets two sheets. And you can decorate your card and write things on them. And then you'll have it ready to give it to your mom next Sunday. Okay? All right, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our mothers, for all that they do for us. Thank you for them teaching us the way that we should go so we'll not depart from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kent. What a good reminder in the coming week for all the words that moms and grandmas do to take very good care of us as we're going through this week. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The first scripture lesson today comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the highest priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. The voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God."
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson today comes from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them: fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks to the choir for a beautiful anthem, and to Nancy for doing our readings this morning. She did a wonderful job. All of us are, to one extent or another, familiar with the term sensory overload. A study recently came out that stated that more than 1 hour of screen time a day was not good for young children, and no screen time was recommended for those under 18 months. What does that say to us as adults, or the adults among us, that I would guess can log a considerably more than 1 hour a day? Almost every area of our lives is susceptible to sensory or emotional overload. It is a regular feature of everyday life. The bombardment of images, from the cute little kids and pets to graphic images of natural and man-made disasters, violence of various kinds, that can make one wish that we could just shut our eyes and forget the world around us for just a moment, except for the fact that there are some things you just can't unsee or can't unhear. We do various things to get away from it all. We try anything for a moment's of peace, or moment of peace. Everything from the low-tech things like a nice long bubble bath or a walk in the woods to high-tech getaways like dips in hyperbaric chambers or high-tech spa treatments. And then there's the old favorite. Some people just like to go fishing. Such was the case for Peter and the other disciples. And who can blame them, given the roller coaster ride that they had been on for the last few years? Given the roller coaster that they had just been in on the last couple of weeks of their lives, what better way to do something that they had done for most of their lives to just plain get away and go fishing? Now, it would have been nice if they could have caught something. Not that you have to catch something to have fun fishing, but it does make things a little more interesting. This was one of those fishing expeditions, however, that it didn't really matter whether they caught anything or not. It probably just felt good to get out on the water for a few moments, cast their nets, pull them back in over and over again. It was something mind-numbingly familiar after the last several years and months, and especially the last couple of weeks, when they were learning something new almost every day, when they had been living a life where they had seen great miracles, experienced the depths of despair, had felt excitement, anger, wonder, love, hatred, to the extent that formerly they could only have dreamed about. Human beings can only take so much of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear of the unknown before you have to close your eyes and try to escape in the mundane and the routine. But then they see this man on the shore, and he is bossing them around, telling them how to fish. And he turns out to be right, telling them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And then they come out of the mist that they had been lost in, and they see that it is Jesus doing the inviting, telling them to come in to the shore for a fish fry. And literally they begin falling out of the boat in efforts to get to him. And everything changes. The same thing happens to Saul on his way to Damascus. He is on his way to persecute Christians. He thought that that was going to be the calling of his life, to go after these blaspheming nobodies who are trying to disrupt the proper teaching of the Torah, to purge the true faith from these radical good-for-nothings. That was to be the purpose of his life. And then in the blink of an eye, he is blinded by the vision of Jesus. And the next thing he can see is the opening of his heart and eyes and ears to the teaching of Ananias, and the learning all about the Savior. And the burning desire begins to grow in his heart to share the gospel with people not just there in Damascus, but throughout the world. Faith in Christ changes everything. The power of this new creation, made evident in Jesus' resurrection, blinds, silences, and converts the most virulent of Christian haters. It unites every possible being in praise and transforms deniers into witnesses willing to die in the service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Timidity must be stricken from believers' hearts this Sunday and always. 3 weeks into Easter time, we who profess to follow Jesus Christ should be bold in proclaiming the unprecedented power of our God. Such is the eye-opening power of the good news. Violent, murderous enemies will be made great apostles of the faith, imprisoned for their evangelism, tireless in their ministry to outsiders and fringe dwellers and skeptics. Disparate nations and peoples and places and creatures will join together, unable to squelch their joyous song of blessing and honor and glory to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Dumbfounded disciples, formerly fearful, less than loyal friends, will be welcomed to sit and eat with the one they abandoned. The very one who denied Jesus three times will be called by name, ask unabashedly about his love, and be not just forgiven, but entrusted with the sacred work of the Good Shepherd, feeding and tending God's sheep. Truly, through Christ, all things are possible. Don't you see? Resurrection power on the loose. The eighth day of creation continues to reverberate with the new, the good, the life-saving, the reconciling, the redeeming, forgiving love throughout the world. Jesus says, then and now, follow me. The life of faith is like that. It is understandable that the disciples try to return to the familiar, but this lakeside dinner reminds them that there is no longer any escape. Wherever they go, the Lord will be with them. The ordinary and the routine will no longer be either ordinary or routine. As the psalmist asks so poignantly, wherever can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? For even as they retreat to their familiar trade, as we might retreat to the office or to the mall or to the garden, what they ultimately discover is that Jesus is there. He is waiting to serve and to nourish them. Of course, we have to have eyes that see. We have to have ears that hear. And it is notable that there really is only one of the disciples that recognizes Jesus on the shore. All of them see the Lord, but only the beloved disciple, the one who reclined at Jesus' breast at the Last Supper, recognizes the Lord, recognizes him, and immediately follows him. We are to follow the heavenly songs of glory, join the singing, follow the fire-breathing Sauls of this world. Go right to their door, tell them the risen Lord has sent you, with a commission and a word of unfathomable grace. Follow the instructions of the one standing at the ready for a catch, so heavy that you cannot haul it over the rim of the boat. Follow the sheep. Go find the lost ones. Tend to them. Care for them. Cradle them. Give them the compassion given to you when you were lost, when you were afraid, when you were at your wit's end. Sure that no one loved you and that no one should. Follow the impulses of love wherever they lead. Know where love is, for God is there too. And therefore you will never be alone, no matter where you go. Follow with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, trusting that all will be given unto you when you follow. This third Sunday of Easter is no time to be timid. In the midst of Eastertide, the risen Christ appears on the road to Damascus, on the beach, on the right hand of the Father, Lord of all that is seen and unseen, very much at work and asking us to follow him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a singular event that foreshadows what is to come in all of creation. The grave-busting, death-defeating, evil-destroying, sin-obliterating power it reveals cannot be stopped. And it is right now reverberating through time and space, people and creation, and bringing with it a new life, new possibilities, and new relationships. In a world filled to the rim with suffering, shocking, gut-twisting, mind-bending headlines of murder and cruelty and devastation, ask this: who are you following? What are you following? Right now, Jesus calls your name. Saul, why do you persecute me? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What are you doing? Who are you following? Who do you chase? What do you run from? The risen Jesus knows your name. No matter which road you take, whether it's to Damascus or Emmaus, there is nowhere our Lord won't find you, won't invite you to follow. Even if you have persecuted him, even if you have denied him, the creative, beautiful, life-saving power of God cannot be thwarted. And those who love the Lord refuse to capitulate to the darkness, the deadly, the hateful, because they know that Jesus has defeated everything that does not contribute to abundant life. So the question is, have you opened your eyes? Have you opened your ears? Are you following? Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the Aids to Worship. Let us join together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us remain standing as we sing our next hymn, 359, More Love to Thee, O Christ.
Thank you.
be seated. As Nancy said, we still do have quite a long list of folks that are on the back of our bulletin that we have been praying for and will continue to do so. But do we have any additional prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share today? Okay. I hear somebody.
John.
Yes.
Wednesday.
Okay. And his name's Brian, right? Sure. Brian. Okay. Surgery Wednesday. Okay. Anybody else this morning? Okay. If not, let us join together in prayer. Keeper of the heavenly scroll, who sent forth the Lamb who shelters us with his presence, we give thanks through Christ that we may serve you both day and night. It was Christ who was slain on our behalf, whom you ransomed that we might have life unbound by the fetters of sin. Through Christ you gathered a people unto yourself, established a household we call the church. To you who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, we give all blessing and honor and glory and might. We give you thanks for time spent in daily common toil, for work to be done, and the strength to accomplish those tasks set before us. Transform the common into the holy, and sanctify the scene of our labors through the presence of your Holy Spirit. May all that we do serve as a blessing, and the result of our efforts build up your dominion on earth. As the risen Christ dined at dawn with the disciples, we give you thanks that you grace our tables with your living presence. May we not take for granted the abundance of food, but use the strength we gain from adequate nourishment to work on behalf of the hungry. Let us not rest until there are guarantees that all your children in all nations are sufficiently nurtured. Only then will the sheep be tended and the lamb be given blessing and honor and glory and might. Be with the mission efforts of this church, wherever they may be, whatever continent our workers may be, that we may support mission workers and be missionaries ourselves. Be with Katie as she goes to do her work. And help us in our mission here at home to reach out to those who have special needs through our prayer. We ask that you would be with Brian as he undergoes surgery this week, that you would continue to be with Claudine, with Ruth, with Amy, with Diane, with Fred, with Lisa, with Beth and Bill, with Friel, with Martha, with John, with Ella, Andrea, Mary Lou, Deborah, with all those concerns that wish to remain unnamed, you know the needs. You will answer the prayers. We lift them up to you. We ask that you would continue to be with our PNC as they seek the next pastor of this church. Guide just the right person to them, that they may nominate that person to this congregation, and that your Holy Spirit works throughout that entire process. Continue to be with our service personnel serving throughout this world and in this country. with our first responders that serve within this community. Protect them and keep them safe as they keep us safe, and bring about peace and justice in this community and throughout the world. Be with the people of Togo in Africa and in so many other places in this world, Lord, where violence and destruction seek to overcome your love and your justice. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and continue to be with us, binding us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers, or the deacons, please come forward for the morning offering. Let us pray. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. We come as your chosen instruments, called to serve. By your might, we are empowered to do what you ask of us. With your blessing, we can rejoice in the gift of new life. To your glory, we have been granted the Spirit's counsel. Receive our gifts of thanksgiving as we give you all honor and praise forever and ever. In Christ's name, amen. Let us sing our final hymn, hymn number, it's the insert. Jesus calls us, or the tune.